It's after 11 o'clock. Good morning. There it is. Good morning. We're still getting into this three-hour thing. The whole show now, 11 to 2, every single weekday. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios. Broncos lose their second preseason game to the Buffalo Bills, 42-15. That was rough. That was a rough go. They were outscored 28-10 or 28-6 in the first half. Yeah. Are we freaking out on this? Against the Cowboys, everything was great. And oh, Nathaniel Hackett's strategy is working. The guys are refreshed. And then they go up against the Bills. Can't tackle, can't run the ball, can't make any stops whatsoever as the Bills just kept running all over Denver. I mean, look at all these running backs. 27 carries for 208 yards for the Bills. Yeah, they had their starters in there for what, a series? Ran all over Denver there. The Broncos' rushing game was rough. Josh Johnson didn't really look great. I thought Brett Rypien, you know, had more, way more passes, had more looks, obviously. He looked sharp. Now, again, you're assessing all of these things. You have to take it in with a grain of salt. So are you hitting the panic button, Angel? Are we freaking out? Are you freaking out about this? Oh, boy.
Not freaking out, but certainly a higher level of concern than last week. And with 2 weeks left to go before the season, you are worried a little bit.
It's not good. You know, you look at 42-15. Denver had what, two defensive guys that might actually play, maybe start, played in this game. OJ Mudiah gets hurt. That's a big deal because the cornerback situation. Obviously, we love what Patrick Surtain's doing, but now you start worrying about the depth. You know, OJ Mudiah was drafted, what, 3 years ago, and you kind of thought he might be a good player. He's been up and down in the depth chart since. You go to the rushing game. I mean, this is what the Broncos' bread and butter is going to be, is running the ball first and setting up that pass with Russell Wilson. So, you know, how much do you really take in a 42-15 loss in the second preseason game? The Bills had their starters. They kept peeling them back throughout the first quarter. Case Keenum tore up Denver, his old team. He was 16 of 18, 192 for a touchdown. I mean, everybody was scoring in this game for the Bills. Well, let's not forget, the Bills are probably a pretty deep roster. One of the favorites to win it all. Denver is still kind of an unknown entity. You know, I talked about this way back when it was the Aaron Rodgers stuff. Why would Rodgers leave Green Bay to go to Denver when Green Bay had a better roster? I mean, they had a couple of Pro Bowlers on that roster. Denver was bad. With or without Drew Lock, with or without Teddy Bridgewater, they just weren't a great roster. So has this roster changed that much from last year to this year? Not really. Our expectations are playoffs, though. And that's the thing. When you bring Russell Wilson in, everything changes. People are freaking out today about the quarterback situation. Our Method Flow Products poll question of the day is, who will be the backup quarterback to Russell Wilson? Because that's a big deal. Russell's in his 30s. To just close your eyes and hope that he doesn't miss any games. The older these guys get, the bigger the chance of missing out on some games. So that's a concern. Should it be Brett Rypien or Josh Johnson? I thought Brett Rypien has put together a little bit better of a body as far as the body of works go the last 2 weeks. Josh Johnson was 8 of 16, 70 yards. His rating was 62. Brett Rypien, 22 of 26, 191, a touchdown. He was sacked once. His rating was 110. Again, he's going up against third and fourth. Josh Johnson's going up against a little bit of first, mainly second and third, as far as who's on that depth chart. I think the Broncos are going to carry two quarterbacks, right? Or do they decide to carry three just in case Russell goes down, and then if Josh Johnson's the guy and you don't like him, then you've at least got Brett Rypien. If anything, yesterday might make the Broncos consider carrying three quarterbacks. Brett Rypien's not bad. Well, he was damn good at Boise State. I thought that stat was pretty interesting, though. The fact that Brett Rypien was first team All Mountain West and Josh Allen was second team All Mountain West. I thought, you know, we did a segment, I believe, with the Mountain West Jesse Kurtz a few years ago about all these really stud quarterbacks in the Mountain West. Well, Brett Rypien was leading that. It was always Brett Rypien. And then Josh Allen just had that phenomenal end to the season. And his passing percentage wasn't necessarily fantastic, but he was. His ability, just the way, you know, him running for first downs and some of the throws that he did make were just out of this world. Guy's got a cannon. That play that he scored the touchdown on, you know, he spins in a circle, collects himself, throws it deep for a touchdown. I mean, it was effortless on that side. So if you're thinking Josh Allen might be the MVP, he was 3 for 3, 45 yards and a touchdown. He was pretty perfect. Let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly real quickly here on Joe. Busy show today. Fun program lined up, but let's get to it. Let's go to the Rockies. We don't get many opportunities to put the Rockies in our good, but we can throw them in there. The Rockies win the series over the Giants, even though yesterday's crazy game didn't finish the way we wanted it to. The Rocks did get a series win.
Servin swings, drives it to left, going back to the wall. Estrada, it got over, it's gone. Estrada, more an infielder than an outfielder, didn't make the play, and Brian Servin, touch him all time, has tied the game at 2.
Hey, you just, you know, crazy games over the weekend for the Rockies. That game yesterday was nuts. The Rockies are down 6-2. Come back, force extra innings. This game's going back and forth. We go all the way to 11. It seems like maybe the Rockies have a shot there. But an automatic runner in Sam Hilliard, he was called out at third. They replayed that. They called him safe at first. Then they go back, review it, said he was out. And that was the end. That's how you end that game. So that was a rough one. That's the bad for sure, was the way that game ended. How about the ugly, the Broncos loss? I mean, we can talk about it throughout the day today, but at the end of the day, it was 42-15, and everybody looked really good for the Bills, but they do have the potential MVP.
Empty set on second down. Allen with time. Now fires, looking end zone, and it's caught! Touchdown! Gabe Davis!
Whew. Perfection. That's ideally what you want. If you're McDermott, I mean, you look at it and say, hey, we want to put Josh Allen in. We don't want to play him a lot. But when we do play him, he is perfect. So who should be the backup quarterback to Russell Wilson? That's the Method Flow Products poll question of the day. That's not the biggest concern here. The biggest concern, I mean, is it the lack of run game? Is it the lack of tackling? They couldn't tackle, man. There were so many missed tackles in this game. I mean, yards after contact had to be crazy for these Bills running backs. Now, do you put the blame on Nathaniel Hackett then? If you're not tackling well, one might wonder, are they tackling well in practice? Well, they're not doing a lot of that. Everything that we know, and we will have our Broncos insider Zach Stevens on, shortly after the start to the second hour. But I'm guessing that's where we're pointing the fingers today. But why would there be such a big difference between what you did against the Cowboys and what you did against the Bills? Because against the Cowboys, we walked away and we felt pretty good. I mean, it wasn't a blowout by any means. It was 17-7. But you liked your defense. Then against the Bills on the road, you're absolutely destroyed. And you couldn't tackle. Just the toughness factor wasn't really there. And, you know, the Broncos are not a deep team. This is why, you know, when you look at my deep thoughts from a wandering mind, I did my, you know, position group grades, essentially, or rankings, I should say. And the Chargers have the best roster in this division. The Chiefs and the Raiders probably have some of the best stars in this division. And when you look at these rosters for Denver, it's kind of like, okay, the wide receivers with Tim Patrick out, where's your depth? Cortland Sutton and maybe Jerry Jeudy figures it out. That's a big maybe. The running backs, you know, you're not playing one and two. Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon, you're not seeing those guys. So does that change a little bit? The offensive line, we know, is not going to be the starters weren't out there. But again, when you get smacked in the mouth 42-15. Now, if you would have just lost, let's just say 27-15, are we freaking out? No, probably not. You're just looking at it going, it's a preseason game. But when you get absolutely smacked in the mouth and they're running up and down the field all game long, you have to take a step back. And so I'm listening to Good Morning NoCo, and Tanner asked me during one of the breaks, that are you a little bit concerned? And I guess my immediate reaction is no. If that's Russell Wilson playing yesterday and he's 0-for-5 and Javonte Williams is playing and he runs at five carries for 12 yards, Cortland Sutton has a drop ball or something like that, then yeah, I'm probably worried. I am worried about the depth, though. This team can't get hurt. I mean, that's a scary thing going into the season. Because that's what we're looking at. We're not evaluating any of these starters. You're not evaluating the guys that are actually going to be out there when they get ready to play Seattle on the road for that Monday Night Football game, which still feels like a lifetime away, even though we're getting close. So, am I panicking? No, I'm not. I'm not panicking. Do you worry that Seattle's going to... This is set up. I mean, this is the NFL. Storylines are king, right? Is this setting up for Russell Wilson return to Seattle and Drew Locke starts and just punches the Broncos in the mouth that first game? That's the story, right? We love storylines. Wouldn't that be something? If that's the first game back and Russell Wilson is in a Broncos uniform and can't get past Seattle because for whatever reason, you're not really ready to play.
Well, with this sport, and specifically with the NFL, anything can happen on any given Sunday, in this case, any Monday.
Yeah.
So it's a thought that's creeping into your head if you're a Broncos fan. You're a little concerned. You have nothing to disprove your belief in Russell Wilson because you haven't seen him on the field yet, but there is that lingering thought that, what if this doesn't work out the way we think?
Well, yeah, like, you are worried about the depth. And if you say, okay, well, if Cortland Sutton isn't the man this year, who will be? You're putting a lot of stock in Russell Wilson. And then I get it. Why not? He's a potential Hall of Famer. I've strayed a little bit on that. You know my rules. I'm very strict with the Hall of Fame. And I don't know that Russell Wilson is in my Hall of Fame. And the fact that I have to say I don't know that he is means he isn't. He could get there. He's very close. He's very close. He will be a Hall of Famer, by the way, because Angel, I think they're going to put you in the Hall of Fame at some point. That's the NFL, man. They put everybody in the Hall of Fame.
I would certainly appreciate it.
No, I'm not worried, but the tackling was rough. Does Hackett change his approach? Does he come out this week and say, all right, we got our butts kicked. We got to get aggressive. We got to get after. We got to be nasty out here because we can't look like that again. They got Minnesota coming up on Saturday night. Do you change your philosophy or do you stick with it? I mean, you're 1-1 in the preseason. Is this a panic button mode for Nathaniel Hackett saying I need to change the way I do things now because we didn't look prepared to play football?
Maybe not severe panic, but definitely a point of emphasis in practices is, hey, we got to hit these guys, wrap up, bring them to the ground, you know, typical coaching stuff. But these guys are professionals. Mm-hmm. They know what they're doing. They know what they got to do on the field to make the team, get their paychecks, whatever. So it's just a matter of, can you get it going in these next 2 weeks?
Right. I mean, there's cause for concern. But most of my brain does take the step back and say, it's preseason. You played a lot of backups. I mean, when I'm looking at the guys that ran the ball a lot for Denver yesterday, you know, who was it? Stevie Scott had 5 carries. Mike Boone had 5 carries. Boone's going to be the third guy on this depth chart, assuming they just carry 3 running backs. So most of the guys you're seeing yesterday aren't even going to be on this team. There was a couple of good things that came out of the game. I really thought Trey Quinn, who muffed the kick return, had a major boo-boo, and people are tweeting right after that. This is Quinn's last game. He's done. Right after that, 5 receptions for 47 yards. So there was some positives, not many, but there were some positives. Albert Okwuegbunam played in this game, one of the starters to play. We think he's a starter. Nathaniel Hackett was asked about that, and he said, hey, he needs more work. Here's Nathaniel Hackett, though, to kind of summarize this whole loss to Buffalo.
You know, the thing that's frustrating now, looking back at that one, are those pre-snap penalties. And that stuff has shown up in practice. I mean, whatever happens in practice is going to show up in the game. So we got to get those guys not to do that, because they got a free play, got an explosive play down the field, and we should have had them right where we wanted them.
Damn it, you didn't. He's a young coach. I think for us to... I mean, are we getting too crazy about this team? You heard Brian and Tanner's and my predictions on, was it Friday or Thursday? I don't remember which day that was. That wacky Friday. We're all drinking this Kool-Aid, man. We're all going in on this team. It's not a matter of going to the playoffs. It's how deep they're going to go to the playoffs. Should we take a step back from that?
I think this sport has a way of humbling fans very, very quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can go from Super Bowl champ to tanking for a draft pick in a matter of weeks, days, even seconds.
Yeah.
And it's concerning, because as we get closer and closer to the season starting, you're overanalyzing almost. You're trying to figure out who's going to make this 53. Who can I look at? For whatever reason, you're looking at fantasy numbers, if that's your thing. And everyone's just kind of on edge, ready for something to count. And we're predicting, we're anticipating. We are looking for that solidified answer.
This is a team that hasn't been in the playoffs in 6 years, and you are expecting Russell Wilson to change all of it. I like what George Payton has done so far in the draft. I don't think he's made many mistakes as far as setting this personnel up. My big mistake that he made was the Teddy Bridgewater thing. I thought that was it's kind of like the same situation in Seattle with Geno Smith and Drew Lock. I've talked about that. Dixon says definitely some concern, because they were supposed to be dudes out there fighting for roster spots, and they all pooped the bed. Dixon, the arch nemesis of the show. Definitely took some concern. You can't lose 42-15 and not at least go, yeah, there's concern there. The saving grace is that you can say it's preseason. You can say it. You can say it's preseason. You can say it was a bunch of backups out there wanting to make this team. But there didn't look to be a lot of fight from these guys yesterday. And you're right about guys fighting for roster spots. I take Trey Quinn out of this deal, and I say, man, that's a guy that re-earned his spot back on this team, maybe. And we'll see. Because you are going to look for guys to spark a little bit. If it's not Jerry Jeudy and KJ Hamler rising to the challenge or to the occasion and being a clear-cut number two guy, you are going to need guys stepping up that maybe are shockers for some. 24 minutes after the hour, we'll take some texts on this. We'll talk a lot of Broncos at 1 o'clock today. There it is. The very first Clay Millen Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. He is the projected starting quarterback. According to my sources, he's a little further than that. For the Colorado State Rams, we'll be doing that show every single Monday. They don't have a game this weekend, but next weekend they are playing at the in the Big House, man, going up against Michigan. That's going to be Clay's first start in his career. And boy, he's got a story, a cool background, though, too. Like, his dad was Hugh Millen. He played in the NFL. He was a backup to Elway for a cup of coffee. So he's got some he kind of has some Denver roots. So we're going to talk to Clay about all that. If you want to ask Clay some questions, fire him up, man. We'll have Getting to Know Clay presented by Ent Credit Union, who's also working with us on the show. Love those folks. It's going to be a blast. We have Zach Stevens coming up later on in the program to talk all things Broncos, what went wrong, what do the Broncos need to do to fix things to keep Broncos country at bay. Freakout mode is today. It's overreaction Monday, I think. 26 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Take it from a guy that played the game. Betting Across America with Mike Pritchard. Weekdays after the Hull Show on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets Podcast. And you're listening to the Hull Show with Brady Hull.
Thirty minutes after 11 o'clock, welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. It's one of those weekends for Broncos fans. Well, maybe you should do something to cheer yourself up. Stop over at my friend's Weldworks in downtown Greeley. Maybe grab a Monday beer this afternoon. Pop by, drown those Bronco sorrows, or stop by for lunch, man. Check out the Annex. It's now, we always talk about them dialing in their beer, dialed in beer. Well, now they're doing it on the food side of things as well. You guys got to try their double cheeseburger at Weldworks. Tell them we sent you here from the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Quinn Meinerz didn't look great, and he was maybe going to be the projected starter at right guard. So a couple of starters, and again, it's not like there weren't some guys out on the field that you're not going to see. I mean, you're going to see some of these guys. Quinn Meinerz is one of them. Defensively, Malik Reed, who was my Zvi Brewing Player of the Week last week, wasn't really doing much out there. Nobody was. I mean, defensively, it is really hard to take any positives from this game. I guess they shut him out in the fourth quarter. That's just the Bills basically running the ball, running the clock out, too. Trying to get this thing done. Denver on their rushing, 1.9 yards per carry. It was rough, dude. So, cause for concern, yeah. Now you're going to be hearing it, though. The calls for Nathaniel Hackett's start of his career are already there. Like, hey, you've been hearing all the last month or so about your practices and how you guys aren't hitting very hard. You guys aren't, you know, doing a lot of that physical contact. You know, the CBA obviously has something to do with a chunk of that. Teams aren't going as hard per the contracts, per the collective bargaining agreement, but the Broncos, from what we know, are taking that one step further. So I will be curious if they do change their strategy up just a little bit. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. The Method Flow Products poll question of the day is available. Who should be the backup quarterback for the Broncos, Josh Johnson or Brett Rypien? Are you feeling good about the backup situation? I mean, yeesh. And it's not like Brett Rypien's been lighting the world on fire over the years. I mean, he's kind of survived with the Broncos when they decided to carry three quarterbacks. I don't think Rypien stole anything from Josh Johnson. I would imagine it's still Josh Johnson who's the starting quarterback, but you might reconsider how many quarterbacks you're going to carry. And they never really came out and said two yet, but that was kind of my thought was, you know, you got Russell, so you'll carry one other quarterback and Josh Johnson more than likely, but Josh hasn't been great. Brett, I think, has been a little bit better. But again, he hasn't started yet. He's been going up against the lesser defenses, something that sophisticated football fans have to look at. Unlike last year, it was throwing Drew Lock under the bus every second of the day because he was going up against, you know, it depends. He started one game. Teddy started one game. That's how you should have done it.
Leave Benny alone, please.
Drew might just win this job. He didn't play Thursday, so might just win this job. But that's the thing. How bad would Broncos country lose their minds if Seattle beats Denver? Russell's first trip to Seattle since becoming a Bronco, first game as a Bronco, and it's Drew Lock, the one that does it.
Would definitely spoil that home opener the next week against the Texans, a game you should win, but we're already predicting them to beat Seattle, so who knows?
I'll tell you, I'm not that confident about that Seattle game. I've thought about this since the schedule was released. This is how the NFL works sometimes. They set up for these crazy storylines. They set up for these upsets, and that's the story. Russell's back in Seattle. How's the crowd going to react? Are they booing Russ? Are they booing him? The 12th man? Are they going to boo Russell Wilson?
Maybe not at first. Nice little ovation when he's out on the field warming up. Oh, thank you, Russ, for all you did, but now we're locked in. Ready to go.
Locked in. I mean, they're desperately trying to tell themselves that this is fine. You know, if you can't be with the one you love, love the one you're with. That's how Seattle feels right now about Geno Smith and Drew Lock. Okay, this is it. After seeing the game yesterday, I do worry about what is it going to be like with that first game of the season. If this team's not tackling well in practice, they're not hitting hard. You talked about this with Good Morning NoCo about needing to get hit. Like, that's a real thing. And if you don't play in the regular season or in the preseason, you're shaking off a lot of rust in the regular season. You don't want to spend too long doing that because teams that might be prepared. Seattle has a quarterback battle going on. So aside from COVID, Drew and Geno Smith have been going hard in practice, hard in their first two preseason games. So who's going to be more prepared is what we're going to. We know what Pete Carroll's about. We still don't know what Nathaniel Hackett's about. Brand new coach. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. If you guys want to vote on our poll question, which it's Josh Johnson leading the way right now. Go to thewholeshow.com to vote. Who should be the backup quarterback for the Broncos, Josh Johnson or Brett Rypien? It was like 70% Johnson. Now it's 57% Johnson. Brett Rippin's gaining some traction in our vote here. Or should they? Maybe I should have added another category. Should they just carry both and be ready for whatever? If Russell Wilson goes down at any point in the season, no matter what trajectory they're on, it's going to go down. It's going to be bad. Unless you can really get that run game going. 37 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Well, that same old concrete that I still walk down, and it seemed they put a shine on this place.
40 minutes after 11 o'clock. Welcome back into The Hull Show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios. A big night last night for fantasy nerds. Game of Thrones. What is this one called?
The House of the Dragon.
House of the Dragon. It's supposed to be before the stuff that's happened in Game of Thrones, right? This is well before all that.
It's approximately 172 years before Mad King and Daenerys and all of that travesty that was season 8.
So no characters from the Game of Thrones are going to be in this then, right?
Nope. The names are still the same. The houses are still there pretty much.
Oh, wow.
The young Baratheons, the young Starks. It's set at the height of the Targaryens' power. So it's about a couple generations after they conquered the land. Now they're kind of at the height of their power, and stuff's about to go down.
Is it weird watching this one, though, knowing I mean, we see this all the time, though. We see preludes and all that stuff. Is it weird knowing, though, how things ended in Game of Thrones, watching all of this, going, well, we already know. We already know what happens.
Yeah, it's a little weird, but for me, watching it was nice to get back into that realm of fantasy. You know, you get into the politics, you see the Iron Throne. It's got, like, thousands of swords now. There's dragons everywhere. And
oh, that's kind of cool.
Silver-haired royals are just debating the heir to the throne and all that, you know, typical stuff, but it's cool to get back into that world. And
I loved Game of Thrones.
I didn't get into
final two seasons
until the end of season 6, because I thought it was the biggest, nerdiest thing you could possibly watch.
Good.
And then I watched the one episode where Jon Snow goes back to Winterfell and has the big fight, and I was like, okay, this isn't that bad. And then season 6 ended, and I was like, oh, let me spend the next 2 weeks catching up on this series, and then the last two seasons happened.
Was there 8 seasons, 9 seasons? So it was 7 and 8 that were the bad ones. It was just rushed. I mean, it was rushed.
It was rushed. It started off okay, and then it was kind of, we have all these characters in this one place. We need to wrap this up.
Totally.
So burn it all.
Totally lost. And spoiler alerts, by the way. Totally lost the feel to what it was in those first 6 seasons. The writing was crappy. It was rushed. You didn't feel the... I mean, characters died all the time in the first 6 seasons when it was like, whoa, that only died fast. That character's gone. I thought they were going to do a lot with them. Kept the venom of that show, right? And then at the end...
All the main characters are still there.
They're all surviving.
Whoa, we can't kill anyone
because
everyone loves them.
They couldn't. They just stopped killing people. I watched a spoof video on that. That's like, hey, there's going to be this one scene where, who's the dude that loses? Jamie?
Jamie.
He's surrounded by the White Walkers and like 40, 50 of them. And they're like, oh, he's on the ground. He's probably going to meet his end there, right? No. How does he survive? By being off camera. Like, the next thing you know, he's fine. I want to see it because I'm into that stuff. I love that kind of stuff. But, man, they hurt me, dude. That show was terrible at the end.
I was definitely jaded before watching this new series. Like, yeah, I know how this whole entire story ends, but they're new characters. It's familiar but different. Some of the plot lines are a little more familial, if that's the word. It's very family-based because it's just one family you're really focused on. And there's like 15 different claims to the throne. Everyone's trying to backstab each other. It's typical Game of Thrones drama, but exciting that it's new. It's something different.
It's going to be weird, though, because like what I loved about Game of Thrones was, yes, you had all the politics and betrayal and drama, but there was still, like, the looming thing, right? It was the White Walkers and the much bigger picture. That's why when people say, well, I love it because it puts politics front and center, I'm like, actually, it puts it pretends that politics are the most important thing. But what the most important thing really is this giant attack coming that's going to end all of mankind. So I liked that aspect of it. This, I'm guessing, there's no, like, dead army or anything coming at these. I don't know. Maybe there's
one reference to that, but it's kind of just like in passing, like, hey, this might be something you need to worry about, but we'll leave that 200 years in the future.
And we'll finish it in half an episode in like 3 seconds.
And you can't see
Game of Thrones. You can't see anything. It's darker than hell. You think this is going to last all season. Nope. Boom. It's done in like 3 episodes of the final season. So the whole buildup is done. And now we still have a series to watch. There it is. I nerded out a little bit. Are the Nuggets still thinking about Kevin Durant? There's a report from Bleacher Report that came out and said that they inquired about what it would cost to get Kevin Durant. And I'm just going to talk, same thing with the Broncos preseason. You can't freak out on this because why wouldn't you call and ask? I'd put money on that. Every team at least sent some kind of a text message or an email or a phone call that just said, hey, crazy idea. What would it take to get Kevin Durant? And then they throw back the price. Yeah, we want 5 first-round picks and Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. Or we want Nikola Jokic and 5 first-round, who knows? And then you hang up the phone. Okay, thanks. Because there is that off chance that the Nets want to get rid of him so badly that they go, you know what, we'll take a couple of young prospects and a bunch of first-round picks for him. Odds of that happening are like 0.0001%. But you have, so I don't even know if this is a story. Of course the Nuggets called. Of course they asked. I talked about this earlier this summer. People said, no, don't even bother asking about Durant. Why not? You might be surprised at the answer.
Well, it's interesting that, according to the report, this happened earlier in the summer. Why is this report coming out now?
Right.
It's interesting.
Yeah, that is kind of weird. Does it make you think that there's the talks got a little bit further? There was a little bit more juice to this rumor? That maybe they talked about Jamal? I mean, the only way that this works for the Nuggets and the Nets, the Nuggets keep Joker, obviously. That guy's untouchable. Is it's going to be Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. and a slew of first-round picks. I mean, how many first-round picks are we talking? Three?
Three at the minimum.
Because, again, you're not...
Because you're just relying on potential with the other two guys.
Exactly. And they're both hurt. They're both coming off of injuries. But, I was listening to Tanner on Good Morning NoCo last week say, hey, he's not going to give Jamal Murray that excuse. He's got to be ready to go by game one. The Warriors gave Klay Thompson like a year before they were pushing him, and then finally he clicked. So you don't know that Jamal Murray is going to be any form of his old self, whether that's Bubble Murray or the Murray we saw right before he got hurt. So if you're the Nets, that's not realistic. Now, healthy Michael Porter Jr. and a healthy Jamal Murray, I think would make Nets fans feel better because they'd go, okay, well, we got rid of Durant, but there's these two. Jamal's not really up and coming necessarily, but Porter is. We've got this younger nucleus now that maybe we can build around, but we haven't seen Jamal or MPJ work without Nikola Jokic. That's the thing. I mean, Murray's a good player. I've only seen a portion of his career where he was great. So I don't think it's realistic. I mean, what? Bones Highland, Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon? I mean, what? I just don't think the Nuggets have anything. It's too uncertain. Now, if you're coming off of the bubble year, then maybe it's okay. Yeah, we'll go Jamal Murray. Then maybe just throwing first round picks. But Jamal's not even close, especially with the injury.
Yeah, you're risking your nucleus that you built up over the last couple years for if not the best player in the NBA. Obviously, it's Jokic, so you would get one and two probably. But then you have to wonder if you give away all your key players like Murray, Porter, Bones, maybe another couple guys off the bench, then it's just a two-man game, and you're just hoping that Jokic and Durant would be unstoppable enough to win you games.
Yeah. How would that work? Let's talk about it on the other side. I'm not sure that it works. They're two alphas now. Does it work? Is it as easy as just pairing these guys together? It didn't work with KD, James Harden, and Kyrie Irving. And I know the Irving thing was weird with the COVID stuff, and Harden just didn't work out. But it's not as easy as just plugging superstars together. 11:49 the time. Let's take a short break. We'll wrap up hour number one. Zach Stevens will join me to get into more Broncos depth. Are robot umpires on their way? Are we going to get more of a strict strike ball system behind home plate? Is it time? Are we there? Do we lose the personality? We'll talk about it next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Joel Cantalamessa from RamNation.com. You're listening to The Hull Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Our game beer of the week, thanks to On the Rocks Liquor. This one's from Sam Adams, Oktoberfest. I'm a big Oktoberfest guy. You can pick up selections from Sam Adams or any of your favorite adult beverages at On the Rocks Liquor. They're open 9 a.m. until 10 p.m., so stop by. You can also use their drive-thru. That's On the Rocks Liquor. Make your next celebration on the rocks. There it is. Sam Adams Oktoberfest is our game beer of the week. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Would Kevin Durant make sense with the Joker? I mean, it's easy just to say, well, Kevin Durant's a great player. Joker's a great player. I don't know that. I mean, we haven't seen that yet. We haven't seen Nikola Jokic as he's risen to superstardom, two-time MVP, back-to-back MVP. He's been the guy with the ball in his hands, both with Jamal and MPJ and without Jamal and MPJ. He is, they'll start him at the top of the key. Sometimes they post him up. They'll have a point guard bring the ball down. But either way, the offense is centered around the Joker. How much does that change if Kevin Durant is, and we can have the same conversation about Giannis we did a week ago. I mean, any of these other superstars that really need the ball in their hand, does that work? Because how many times a game is KD just going to have to say, I'm taking over right now? I'm not going, I'll pass it around just to reset. But with the Nuggets, 90% of their possessions heavily involved the Joker. Unless Will Barton just ran down and took up some terrible shot before they could even get into their offense.
Yeah, and I think that concern of two alphas on the floor is something to look at, but I also think back to his time with Golden State.
True.
Joining not just Steph Curry, but at the time, Klay Thompson, and they had Andre Iguodala still,
and Draymond
Green.
And,
so there was a different kind of load management for Kevin Durant in that situation. In Denver, it might just be A and B, just go out and score points.
It's weird because Golden State, even though Steph Curry is a superstar and he's etching his name amongst the greatest players in this league, and former and current, but that team to me is really built around everybody's passing it around. Everybody's moving the ball around. Draymond Green's changed his game up a little bit too over the years, and I think he's underrated, to be honest. So to me, I look at this situation, and I think it's different. I get what you're saying. Golden State, it worked. They were able to mesh and make that work and win a couple of titles out of it. I just think Golden State's built for that. I mean, look at Jordan Poole's now becoming, I don't know if he's becoming a star, but he was getting close in the playoffs at least, because Golden State lends itself to making everybody on the floor better. Now, a Joker does that, but how does that work with a Kevin Durant? And does it, is it something you'd be willing to ship Jamal Murray, MPJ, and a slew of first-round picks for? I'm not so sure. But the Nuggets were interested. They made a phone call. They had to know what the price would be. I'm guessing that was the price. All right, we'll take a short break. When we come back, Zach Stevens from DNVR Broncos will join me at the top of the hour. The Clay Millen Show begins at 1. You don't want to miss that, Rams fans. We'll be right back. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.